God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message called Bringing Back the Ark. The Encouraging Word. In just a few moments, we'll be opening God's Word together with Dr. Don, and he wants you to know that we're open as well. Open in a number of ways. Keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. You can connect with us there. Matter of fact, you can even sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email, something that just jumpstarts my quiet time in a wonderful way. I pray you'll consider signing up. That's online at tewonline.org. But also, here in this time, a conversation, a phone call has been rediscovered, I think, in our minds, and we'd love to take that call from you and pray with you. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, in the Old Testament, The Old Testament is just marvelous. You can go right throughout the Old Testament, and they had this structure, this box. It was called the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Old Testament, before Jesus came and gave his life and became the new covenant, those people, in order to be near to God, carried God with them everywhere they went. I mean, this was literal. If you study the story of the children of Israel, and you just follow their footsteps when God delivered them from bondage out of the hand of Pharaoh, they carried the ark with them. And you know, you can read it almost, if you'll beg my pardon, almost like a novel. It's just this incredible story about God and his people. And it's almost just guaranteed every time they neglected the ark, every time they put the ark in the wrong place, every time they walked away from the ark, they left God out of their lives, and it happened again. It didn't matter how many treaties they signed, didn't matter how many battles they'd won, it didn't matter how many nice things they'd been about, how many feasts they'd held. Every time they walked away from the ark, they paid a high price, a consequence, because they came to understand that you cannot without God. So I want you to just turn in your Bibles with me in the Old Testament to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Now, it may take some a little while to get there. 1 Chronicles, we're going to be in chapter 13, and I'm going to just read you what happened here, because ultimately this is the story of the culmination of the lives of two individual people. And I want you to really get a hold of something here today, because I'm about to speak to you about bringing back the ark. I'm asking God to speak to my heart about bringing back the ark. I want the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, in my life, his presence and his power, the vibrancy of the Holy Spirit to permeate my heart and my life. I want to be a godly man. I want to be a daddy who loves the Lord Jesus. I want to be somebody who looks at others and says, I love you, and that the root of that love doesn't come from my head, it comes from my heart. I want to be somebody who knows about the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. I want to take hold of the things of God. If I'm going to do that, I believe what God is saying to me today, as I pray for you and each one of us, is that I need to bring back the ark. Two men. One's name was King Saul. The other's name was King David. I want to read to you in chapter 13. Verse 1, David consulted with the commanders of thousands and of hundreds and with every leader. And David said to the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you and from the Lord our God, let's send abroad to our brothers who remain in all the lands of Israel, as well as to the priests and Levites in the cities that have pasture lands, that they may be gathered to us. Then let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul, and all the assembly agreed to do so, for this thing was right in the eyes of the people. Just consider two men. I don't have time to break down and give you a long, wonderful, exciting background of the lives of these two men, but there are some things that we can say based upon the authority of this word. Number one, both these men, Saul and David, had God on their side. I want you to think about that a minute. Go back and study the life of Saul. God was on his side. Look at David and study the life of David from when he was just a mere shepherd boy. God was on his side. Both of these men were without excuse. You know, in many ways, and I'm putting a human touch onto this, in many ways I can't imagine how many times, excepting when we understand the depth of the Word of God, how many times God looked upon the faces of both Saul and David and said, "Men, you of all people know better." Secondly, they both had enormous potential for the Lord. That was pretty evident. They were eminently gifted, consecrated, set apart, called out, anointed, gifted. I have precious friends who have sons and daughters. I spoke to someone a week ago, not part of our congregation, in the community, just engaging in a conversation. And this lady said to me, "I can't understand it. We all come from the same family and the same background, and we heard the same word, and we all accepted the same Jesus. But my sibling," and went on to tell me just the saddest accounts of one person who is so far from God. "You know better." And this particular person looked at me and said, "And this sibling of ours has so much potential." Have you ever met someone who just throws away their potential? Just throws it away. You look at them and you say, "What are you doing?" Just throws it away. What about these two men? They both had God on their side. They both had enormous potential, and they both had great support. I love that one. If you go back and study the life of Saul, King Saul, I mean, just begin with his son. Just begin with his son. You know, I'm surrounded by such great support. Look at David and his mighty men. Just consider the passage we've just read. David consulted with, "You, my friend, are extremely foolish if you don't consider those who surround you, that God uses to support you and bless you and advise you and counsel you. How much do we not thank the Lord for our mothers and our fathers and our sons and our daughters?" My oldest son gave me a great privilege. He said, "Dad, you know the New Orleans Saints are playing against the Carolina Panthers, and Rob, of course, has been chaplain serving them for 10 years now. So despite my interrupting my evening of good ball games, I got into a motor car with my two sons. Went to go and speak to the New Orleans Saints football team. And when my son Rob got up in front of Drew Brees and all those professional players and said, 'This is my dad,' when I stood up, I said, 'Let there be no mistake, men. Yes, I am their dad, but the tables have turned. I will try everything I can to bless my sons and my daughter for the rest of my life, but I cannot put into words what it means to be my age at my stage of life and to have my two sons sitting right here in this place. I hang on every word. They counsel me, they advise me, they talk to me, they encourage me, they lift me up, they inspire me, they teach me." How are you doing? How are you doing? These two men had great support. They both had their sin to deal with. That's very evident. Both of them. I want you to just think it's seemingly contradictory somewhat that they would be anointed and called of God and gifted by God and surrounded by such magnificent people who gave them such godly counsel, and yet they wallowed in their sinfulness, because the Bible says that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the story of King Saul and the story of King David is a perpetual story of them doing business with God concerning their sin. They both had choices to make. Oh, did they have choices? As I began to study this passage, bringing back the ark, I thought to myself, wow, I think we could speak for a whole month just on the choices that faced two men. And at the center of the choice was, what about God? What about this one? What about the great I am? What about the deliverer, the redeemer, the forgiver, the reconciler?
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, Bringing Back the Ark, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we're here for you, connecting online at tewonline.org, not just during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day right now. As we wrap up the month of June, we've had so many requests for faith in the midst of crisis and defying the odds. You'll see, you can take a look at those right now on our website, tewonline.org. That book from Dr. Don and that message has been just it's been a comforter and a challenge for us in this time of separation. And even as we're still in some ways really separated, as we get back together, we can have that faith in the midst of any crisis. Again, take a look online right now at tewonline.org, and you can discover how you'll get your copy, or give us a call and we'll give you that word as well at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And though we'd love to connect with resources like that message in that book, we're here to call, to use that number to pray and talk with you and listen to you. Again, that's 866-899-9673. We'd love to encourage you today. Now back to today's message, Bringing Back the Ark, with Dr. Don Wilton.
What about this one who gives to us his purpose, his life, gives us joy unsurpassed? What about him? Well, Saul made his choice. I'm not in that passage. You can read it for yourself. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13. This is what the Bible says about Saul. May I read this to you? I don't want to read it. I don't like reading passages like this. This is what the Bible says. So Saul died for his breach of faith. Excuse me? That's not a very popular statement today. Saul died because he had breached his faith. He broke faith with the Lord. Excuse me? Did you hear that? He broke faith with the Lord. He did not keep the command of the Lord. He also consulted a medium. God said, don't do that. What are you doing that God said don't do, no matter what you think about it? Who's your witch of Endor? Who did you visit yesterday? Why did you move your ark to the outside of the building while you made your visit? That's exactly what Saul did. He did not seek guidance from the Lord. I don't want to tell you this bad news. I've just been there. Do you know what happened to Saul? He was killed on Mount Gilboa. But I want to tell you the real tragedy of that. Alongside him, it cost his son Jonathan his life too. Can you imagine Jonathan? Do you know how many sons there are in America that pay the consequence of their father's behavior? Do you know how many of our sons are watching us and our behavior in America today? They both had choices to make. When I began to study this passage and I thought, oh Lord, please help me. I don't know how many times I've taken the ark and put it outside the door. So I want to do something here very briefly. The Lord's put this into my heart. How how do we bring the ark back home as we move into the potential and the promise and the joy of tomorrow? I love those statements about making New Year's resolutions. Just trust me. I get up to about 100 and then I've got to start clipping the wings a little bit. Do you know, I'm just admitting that on Thursday morning, I woke up with my family and I made an absolute pledge that I was beginning my diet immediately. I did. And I said, you know what? I got to be very careful. I mean, I had the best time the other part of the week. And if you'd been with me, you would have agreed wholeheartedly. And so we loaded up the kids and the whole lot. I mean, it's like a caravan. And we went up into the mountains and went hiking. We just had the best time. When we got through hiking, we said, we are starving. So we went to Tryon Side Street Pizza. And we walked in and I said, man, this salad is going to be so good. And then they brought out the heart stopper pizza. And I looked at it. My sons looked at me. We looked at each other and said, we'll start the diet tomorrow. Well, that was like Friday. I still haven't. But at any rate, we're not going to get into all of this. Here it is. You ready? You ready for this, precious friends? How do you bring your ark back? How do you bring the Lord back? Number one, consider who you belong to. Who do you belong to? I told a group of professional football players last night. I don't know most of them. I said, I want you to know one thing about me. I'm a Christian man. I love Jesus. How about you? You don't need to know Greek or Hebrew to say that. You don't need to sit in a 25-hour Bible study with your pastor. It's just, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong, for I am weak, he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, because the Bible tells me so. I'm a child of God. Consider who you belong to. Number two, consider who your friends are. You want to bring the ark of your covenant back home? Do a re-evaluation right now of the people you hang around with. So who did you hang around with yesterday? Who do you go to get a really good long drink of fresh water? Who's talking into your ear? Just make some decisions. Number three, consider your commitment to Christ. Commitment, when you give your life to Christ, following Christ is the essential arm of Christian discipleship. You don't make Jesus Lord, he is Lord. Follow him. Number four, consider your priorities. You want to bring the ark of your covenant? Just reevaluate, consider, bring it back in line, bring it into the home of your heart, your priorities. You know, may I make a few suggestions? If you're married, start right there. How's your marriage, by the way? Did you tell each other you loved one another this morning, or is she just supposed to know that? Are you one of those grumpy old grandpas that you'd need a crowbar to get your mouth talking to tell anybody that you love them? You're so full of yourself. You know how far that goes? Do you say thank you to people? Do you go out of your way for others? When last did you do something for someone else? How are you serving the Lord Jesus? Are you using your gifts for the Lord? You see, would you agree with me? Where do we stop? Where do we start? It's really, in many ways, that's just a never end. Just reorder your priorities. And God will take something in your soul spirit and he'll just bless you. You are one incredible people. I'm one of you. I'm just calling you out. That's all I'm doing. And I'm not even doing it. God is doing it. Never make an assumption that your team is going to win, no matter how good they are. Don't start getting all stroppy with God just because you know him. Blessings are not an automatic rite of passage in the Christian faith. Saul and Jonathan ended up on a hillside. Number four, consider your priorities. Number five, consider the choices that you have to make. I've got choices that I have to make. Some I can handle, some I don't know how I'm going to handle. I just stand here today with a heart full of love because of the love of God and for you. I look out and I see my brothers and my sisters and Sal and Steve, love him, served together for, 35, 36 years together. And I just love you, Steve. It's not about, you can take that and just multiply these things over and over. And I look around here. I mean, they're just some things, folks. Just, it's time to make a choice. Bring back your ark, your relationship with Jesus Christ. Repent before Him. Recommit your life to Him. Realign with Him. Bring the ark back. David resolved to do that, and it's replete with the blessings of God that just came pouring down, not only on David and on his children, but on the whole nation of Israel. Came under that mantle of blessing, and all he did was got up and said, folks, what shall we do? Because, over the last several years, we've just let the ark float down the Nile. Like we only bring the ark out on Sunday mornings. God doesn't do just Sunday mornings. He does every moment of every day. And because Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us, he lives in our hearts. We carry the ark of God's covenant in our hearts all the time by his Spirit. We are filled and indwelt by his Spirit. That's why we can say, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God does this for us. And when you bring back the ark of your covenant, it is the place of your commitment to Christ. When you bring back the ark of your covenant, it is the home of your affections. Where do you gravitate to on Saturday nights? Where is your affection? What's the pull? When you bring back the ark of your covenant with God, you bring back the very home of your affections. You bring back the very beat of your pulse. You bring back the very line of your sand. You bring back the none of your negotiable. When you bring back the ark of your covenant, given to us by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who gave his life upon the cross, you bring back into your very disposition the none of your negotiable. When you bring back the ark of your covenant with God, you bring back the heart of your resolve to serve the Lord, to love the Lord, to live for the Lord Jesus, to make certain that He comes first. I love that verse of Scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. Added, not taken away. You and I love it. We love our ball games and our barbecue and our families and friends and Christmas trees. I love it. I love all of that. Love being with you. God doesn't take these things away. He adds them. Bring back the ark of your covenant commitment to Christ first. And folks, you will never find yourself lapsing into a Second World War, even though you signed a document to end the one that ended all wars. Because then all it is just a resolution on a piece of paper. But when it comes from the heart. So my prayer for you is God bless you. God watch over you and me. Don't leave me out of this. God cause His face to shine upon you. Lift up the light of His countenance upon us all. Here it is. Listen to this. Give us His peace. This He will do.
A powerful blessing, a benediction from our pastor today. And as you're perhaps reveling in the truth of God's peace and God's light of His countenance, I pray that you understand that and receive that with great peace, because it could be that if you've not given your life to Christ, you realize that that is only available to His children, that His light, His peace, His blessing is available to you, but you have to take the first step and receive it. Just as you'd had a, if you'd had a Christmas gift that was 6 months old sitting over there in the corner and you never opened it, though the gift was there and the giver wanted you to have it, until you receive it, until you open it and take it, then it's not yours. The opportunity is yours today to say yes to Jesus Christ, to take His hand and let Him lead you into your purpose. He is the Creator. He created you for a beautiful purpose, a unique purpose, a unique plan. Oh, I pray you'd open your heart to that truth. As a matter of fact, open your heart to what Dr. Don wants to say next here on The Encouraging Word.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
What a powerful day. And perhaps as Dr. Don was praying moments ago, or as he was preaching earlier, you realize it's time for a change. Oh, how we'd love to take you to the next step to pray with you. If you've given your life to Christ, let us put these resources in your hands that will help you grow. Maybe you've rededicated your life. Again, call us at 866-899-WORD so we can put these in your hand. That's our phone number, 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather connect keyboard to keyboard, we're online as well at tewonline.org.
Our nation is in trouble. Many voices are speaking in our world. We must learn to apply biblical truths to the times in which we now live. With your gift of support to The Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's classic and timely message, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. Messages include The Antichrist, Apostasy, Part 1 and 2, and What One Man Can Do for a Nation. This message will be sent to you for your gift of $20 or more in support of The Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
It's been a wonderful week of studying God's Word together. Here on The Encouraging Word, as we launch into the weekend, our pastor would want to remind you, don't miss out on the chance of being a part of worship in your church or perhaps in a friend's church, because in this time of disconnectedness, there's still a lot of opportunities to maybe be in more than one church on Sunday. Don't miss out on the opportunity of that even electronic sense of gathering together, that we would lift up the name of Jesus. You can stay connected with us as well online at tewonline.org or on the phone at 866-899-9673.
The Encouraging Word has been such a tremendous blessing to me. I want to thank all of the Encouraging Word staff. The daily devotionals have encouraged me and helped me in my daily life. I thank God for the work that TEW does, and I know you are making such a difference all around the world. Thanks to you, I've returned to church and now have a church family that I can worship the Lord with.